You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
There's a player who looks tired in the kick-ins, but he's just got that air about him. But here he is, and he's done it! Claridge has scored for Leicester! And it goes again towards the towering Ziyech. Oh, confusion at Martins has surely scored the winning goal for Birmingham City!
Hello and welcome to the Carabao Cup final special edition of the podcast, previewing Sunday's match between Aston Villa and Manchester City. Coming up in this episode, we'll hear from Aston Villa's Frederic Gilbert and Trezeguet, plus Manchester City duo Riyad Mahrez and Raheem Sterling. We'll also hear from a City fan and a Villa fan who will be sitting together at the final on Sunday. But first, let's hear from one of the most recognisable voices in football and the man who will be calling the action for millions of people around the world. That man is the one and only Martin Tyler.
It's finished at Sunderland. Manchester United have done all they can. That Rooney goal was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Martin, welcome to the show, first of all. I know you've covered many finals at Wembley, but how special are occasions like this?
I think they're very special for the clubs involved, for the broadcaster involved, and for the watching world. You know, you probably want me to say it's very special for a commentator, but I believe every game I do is special. You know, it's a challenge, the importance of getting it right for an audience and for the company that have shown a lot of faith in me and Sky Sports. So I don't really prepare as differently as you might think, but clearly the atmosphere on the day provokes all sorts of things that might not happen on other days. Most games are important that we cover, but to come away with silverware is obviously very, very important. And I do think the way the EFL has staged these is so many sponsored, I can't go through the whole list of them, but you know, I mean, there've been so many different sponsors, but the Carabao Cup as it is now, the way it's been put together is, it's always a pleasure to play a small part in what is a really showpiece day.
Yeah, let's hope for another dramatic final. The last two seasons, we've had some of the so-called Premier League big hitters go head-to-head in the finals. Mm. This time, we have a bit of an underdog in Villa. How interesting could that make it, do you think?
Well, I think it appeals a lot to the neutral audience. Obviously, Manchester City have got legions of fans, and so too have Aston Villa, and very big clubs. Although people think of Manchester City as a slightly, new money, if you like. Obviously, they've got a deep and rich history as well, and you only have to see Villa Park to know the whole structure of the place makes you think of the history of football as well. So, but obviously the big discrepancy in league placings, which can be significant and might not be. People will, I'm sure, mention the fact that Watford were put away 6 at the FA Cup final by Manchester City, but there was a moment when Pereira was through, which if Watford had struck then, it could have been a completely different story. So probably as the side with, if you like, less substance to their season, you have to take your chances. And I'm sure Villa will get some chances. But on the day, if it goes right for you, anyone can beat anybody else. And that's a football cliche, but it's absolutely true. And it's what we love about English football. It's never a done deal.
Mm. And we saw how good last season in the Championship, how good it was to watch Jack Grealish. And I'm guessing it's been a pleasure for you to commentate on a talent like that in the Premier League. How much has he changed since he last featured at this level?
That's a difficult question to answer because I've seen him through, I've seen him play in the Championship as well. And the loyalty that he's shown to Aston Villa is most commendable. No one would have blamed him. He said, look, you better cash in on me because I need to play at the top level at this stage of my career. So that loyalty is well documented. He absolutely loves the place, loves the club, proud to wear the shirt, and he is a very talented player. I think I'm not absolutely up to speed with the stats, but for ages, Eden Hazard was the most fouled player in the Premier League. And I think Jack's, if he's not up there as number one, he'd be close to it.
I think he is number one.
And there's a similarity, really, in the way they play. There is a similarity that they, if you like, invite, not deliberately invite fouls, but when you run with the ball, you're more likely to get fouled. And that's taking responsibility with the ball. And he plays with his head up, plays with his heart. And yeah, he's a great member of the cast that will be assembling at Wembley on Sunday.
And I know they're the defending champions, obviously. But how important is this competition for City this year, considering, you know, that they're not going to, probably not going to retain that Premier League title?
Yeah, I think you're being generous with the probably.
Just a bit.
They're not going to retain the Premier League title. I think they know that. And therefore, they've retained the Community Shield, which I think we should always count as a trophy. I know you have to get the people talk about the Super Cup in the European competitions as being a trophy to win, and that's obviously an international version of what the Community Shield is. So I think they'll have their hearts and minds set on retaining this, and the FA Cup, of course, which they're still in as well. The Champions League situation is interesting. They will have played a tough game in the Bernabeu Stadium before we get to, and we're talking before that European tie has been played. So it's going to be a very different build-up for the two clubs, with Bernabeu for Manchester City players and Bodymore Heath, the training ground for the Aston Villa players. So, you know, we'll see, sometimes that can be significant. And until we, as a commentator, my preparation on Manchester City won't really start until the final whistle's gone in the Champions League tie. So that's going to have a bearing somewhere along the line, I think. And we'll see what team selection happens. But they've obviously got grand designs on doing something in the Champions League this season, because although I must stress that they're vehemently protesting their innocence, they believe their appeal will be upheld. As it stands, they're not going to play in the Champions League for the next 2 years.
But also, with the fact, obviously, we talked about midweek in the Champions League, could that be an advantage for Villa as well, not having a game of that magnitude? And like you mentioned, you know, having that training time at Bodymore Heath.
Well, it should be. I mean, in certain aspects of the game, it should be. It's not going to completely wipe out the discrepancies that have left them so far apart in the Premier League table, but they will have the chance to be fresh. The other argument, counter-argument, of course, is Manchester City will be tuned in to play at the level that they'll be expected to play in midweek, and it's easier perhaps to reach it again on Sunday. You can hang around too long before cup finals, and my experience of being with teams down the years, particularly in the FA Cup final, where to escape sometimes from the pressures of being around in the town that they come from, teams head for London, say for a Saturday final in the old days for the FA Cup, but still a Saturday final now, but they'd land in London on the Tuesday and go stir crazy in the hotel. So I think it's a good thing for Villa that, as I understand it, they're certainly still in the Midlands on Friday. Whether they're coming down Friday night or Saturday, I don't know. But that's I think that's something that Dean Smith and his coaching staff will be aware of. They've got to mix up the week a bit so that they're not drained by the expectation, if you like, of playing in such a big game.
And for Pep Guardiola as well, obviously, he's a manager who prides himself on winning trophies. He talked about, you know, the Community Shield being important to him, like you've mentioned as well. Surely a must-win for him in terms of his mindset and his approach to the game.
Yes, he's somebody who's so used to winning. And they've got a wonderful record at Wembley, of course, Manchester City. It's almost like the Etihad of the South, isn't it, really? And I do think you're right, the Community Shield, they called themselves the Four Middables last season, Manchester City, which the four part of that word is F-O-U-R, because they count the Community Shield as one of four trophies that they won. And as it's come at this sort of awkward time in the In the way the club is facing to the UEFA situation at the moment, I think it's even more important from their point of view to just remind everybody that it's business as usual for Manchester City. So they've got a great incentive to win. As you say, Pep's whole psyche is built about winning. Whether they will win, that's the joy of football, isn't it? We'll wait and see. And there are no givens or no guarantees. And the first person who would tell you that would be Pep Guardiola.
And I know it's not the easiest, it's not been the easiest return to the Premier League for Villa, but how much will Dean Smith be hoping that this maybe, you know, winning this competition, you know, could give that boost and belief to everyone at the club that they can stay up?
I think it would be massive. You're absolutely right. And it's a morale boosting thing to get to the final. I think that's, I mean, let's put it into perspective. I mean, they've beaten Leicester, who are right up there with Manchester City, and they've beaten them over two games. So, you know, they've got the expertise to win matches of that magnitude. I know they lost heavily at home to Manchester City, and they have been making a lot of individual mistakes, which sort of thing you can eradicate in a way, because players, you know, learn from those mistakes. And there are quite a few Premier League novices really in the squad when you look at it, who came up with them or have been recruited for this particular season and beyond. So I think that it's in them to get better. They will obviously be wondering what's happened the day before in terms of their rivals at the bottom of the table getting points or not. That might be a slight concern for the management, but I wouldn't think for the players they'll be focused on it. And yeah, if they were to be taking the Carabao Cup back to the West Midlands on Sunday night, you know, you could imagine that onwards and upwards in the Premier League.
And finally, I know commentators, it's your job to, you know, be neutral in games like this, but how do you see the final going? Is there any way that Villa can cause an upset?
No, you're right. I'm absolutely neutral. There is, it's football. Anybody, you don't get to a final without having the potential to win the final. And I've seen times where Manchester City have completely dominated finals, like the FA Cup final. Although, as I mentioned earlier, they did have one bit of luck early on, or a very good save from Edison, really. And I've been there when Manchester City lost to Wigan, and everybody said that couldn't happen, but it did. Which way it will go, only time will tell. But we'll all be getting up Sunday morning full of excitement and enthusiasm for what lies ahead. And the competition organisers and the sponsors deserve that, because it is an important part of the football calendar. Every aspect of the football calendar is always under check, shall we say, at the moment, because there are, you know, time restraints, I think, on the very best players. I think the very best players probably play a bit too much. But do you know what? If you want to win football matches, you end up playing a lot of games. So why complain about it?
Well, now it's time to hear from some of the players who will be hoping to play a part in the Carabao Cup final, starting with Aston Villa. We'll hear from Frédéric Gilbert, but first this from the man who scored Villa's winning goal in the semi-final.
It's one of my dreams to be in the Premier League and in the big team like Aston Villa. And it's a strong league, it's the best league in the world. I feel every game different than I play in the World Cup, I play in Africa Cup, everything. But in England, it's totally different. And I'm very happy to be here. And this is the best league in the world.
Here's El Mohamedy.
Yeah, it was amazing feeling when I score and the team go to final to Wembley. Is very good feeling. I feel that before also when I play in national team. Like 28 years we don't go to World Cup, and 94 minute I like 1-1 we cannot go to World Cup, and 94 minute I do the penalty, and Salah scored the penalty. This also is best feeling. I feel that before, but in here I feel like amazing feeling. Yeah, Manchester City one of the best one of the best team in the world. It is a strong team. We play against them 2 times. We know how this team is strong, and we will work very hard to win this game, because it's just 90 minutes. We can win. Just 90 minutes. We work very hard, and we'll see what will happen.
C'est cool pour moi d'avoir marqué ce but.
It's cool for me to score this goal, especially as it helped us get to the final. It's great for the team. We've all been working together to achieve this aim. Now today, we're in the final, and of course we hope to win it. The fans at Villa Park are really close to us, and they generate an impressive atmosphere. I watched from the stands last year when we were playing for promotion to the Premier League. I was there in the stands at Wembley, and this time I hope it will have the same feeling and the same final outcome. Wembley's a big stadium. It's a bit like the Stade de France. It's a stadium you want to play at, and we have the opportunity to do so. They're a great team, and they have some really great players. We don't have a particular game plan to keep them in check. The whole team is dangerous, so we have to be careful of all of them. No, I don't think we have to play it differently. We have to play our game, but it's harder to do that against top quality players. We have this match and an opportunity to win it. We're going into it with confidence and with the intention of doing that.
That was Frédéric Gilbert, and before that, Trezeguet. Now let's hear from a couple of Manchester City players. In a second, you'll hear from Riyad Mahrez, but first the man who scored the winning penalty in last year's final.
Yeah, it's always a great feeling being in finals, and this year is no different. And yeah, it's one that we're looking forward to.
Sterling scores! And Manchester City win the first silverware of the season! The first leg of the quadruple that they are going for!
Yeah, it was a great feeling, being in my hometown. But as I said, those were dreams are made of, but as you get another chance to be there again and hopefully, you know, try to create some more special moments.
Last year, as we touched on, quite a cagey affair against Chelsea. They seem to have a game plan for you. What was it like, you know, playing in a game like that when you know, there's so much pressure there, and they've obviously shown you quite a lot of respect in terms of the way they're set up?
Yeah, like I said, they're a team that came with their game plan. We had our game plan. Their game plan made it a lot difficult for us, but you know, we stuck to it. We had belief. The chances weren't as clear as we normally do get them, but you know, there's the final. Sometimes it happens, and we just got to stay in the game and be ready for that moment. And that moment then came to penalties, so you know, it was a great one to be involved in.
And Aston Villa seemed like a different sort of test to Chelsea, I suppose. You know, it's an occasion, probably a bigger occasion for them, being not a club that's consistently got in the top four. Does that sort of change your mentality going into the game? Because obviously you're coming up against, some would say, maybe a clear underdog.
No, I would say you change your mentality. These sort of games are probably the most difficult games, because you can't take your foot off the gas, and we're not trying to do that. You know, it's another final, and that's the most important thing to us, is getting another trophy. So we'll be fully prepared and fully mentally, you know, ready to you know, be there and be at the end, hopefully collecting a final, another medal. I know Aston Villa will be doing their utmost best to try and make it upset, but we've got to be professional and try to play our football. And we know if we play our football, then there's not a lot of teams that can stop us.
Well, it's going to be 2-0. It was a wonderful pass, and Mahrez does the rest. And they have counter-attacked, the counter-attackers, Manchester City.
Riyad, another year, another final for Manchester City. How important is it for you personally to reach days and occasions like this?
Oh, it's always good to qualify for the finals. It's always very good to play finals. At the end, it's a cup, so it's about winning something. So, yeah.
And the Carabao Cup was obviously the first trophy you won when you were at Manchester City. I know you didn't play in the final, but how much confidence and hunger did that give you as a squad last season to go on and win the Premier League again, you know, under such tough competition with Liverpool?
Of course, it's a good competition, the Carabao, because the final as well arrived early. So if you win the final, it gives you the extra thing, extra confidence, extra motivation to finish the season very good.
Recently, you obviously played Aston Villa, a convincing win, 2 goals for yourself. Does that sort of I don't know. You're not going into this game underestimating them, though, are you? You know,
it's a final. You can beat them in a league or anything, but when you play the final, it's different. It's different. Everyone can beat everyone.
So that's some of the players, but more than 80,000 fans are expected at Wembley on Sunday, and two of those who'll be sitting together are friends of mine, actually, but they'll both be supporting two different teams. Representing Aston Villa is Dan Lynch, and in the blue corner is Josh Stead. We'll start with you, Josh. How does it feel to go to a major final like this with one of your mates, you know, who'll be supporting the opposite team?
Well, I guess growing up, I didn't know an awful lot of City fans, so I'm kind of used to being on my own. But yeah, I think it'll be great. I think it'll really add to the sense of occasion as well, especially if we win and I really get to kind of rub his nose in it, just in person rather than over text as usual.
Dan, will it be my, you know, former teammates come up against each other? Do you think, you know, that old saying, you know, enemies for the 90 minutes, then back to being friends?
It could be a bit like that. I think Josh and I have the sort of friendship that whenever the football starts, everything's out the window. And a lot of things get said that might not otherwise get said in a normal kind of conversation. But whenever the game's over and we've kind of finished having a bit of a slobbering match about it, it all goes back to normal and it's kind of, you leave that on the pitch. But a bit like Josh said, like, you know, I don't know an awful lot of Villa fans, so anytime I've even been to a Villa game, it's been very rarely with other Villa fans, other than other people in the stadium, but I don't know the people generally that I'm going with. So it'll be a sort of almost normal experience for me, sitting in a stadium beside somebody who's not really kind of shouting the same way that I'm going to be shouting.
Speak for yourself, you know, I think it only ever goes back to being cordial because we usually beat you, but you know, that's just the way these things have been going in recent years.
And in fairness, Josh, we didn't know each other before the Etihad sort of took control of City, so that's a mitigating circumstance. How's the European Cup looking in your trophy cabinet?
It'll look lovely come the end of the season.
Fighting talk then. Josh, me and you went to watch City, actually. Me, obviously, being a neutral, but went to watch City at Preston in the third round of the competition. Quite a few young players are getting a chance in that game as well. Is that part of the attraction of the competition, you know, seeing some of those rising stars come through?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the final will be a bit of a different thing because, you know, we know that Pep takes these things very seriously. He takes winning every trophy very seriously. You know, last season, him and the club counted it as four trophies rather than a treble. But yeah, I think that it's one of, you know, when you've got a team that's got so many superstars in it, it's one of the few chances that you do get to see some of the players that hopefully are going to come through in the next couple of years and see them in a proper competitive environment. You know, I know that we'd sort of seen a little bit of Eric Garcia before the Preston game, but to sort of see him paired with Bellis Harwood and to see some of the other young players coming on in that game was great. And yeah, it just kind of gives you a little bit of a glimpse of, you know, what the future may well hold for the club, because, you know, especially if the European ban is upheld and we've got to start bringing some of these players through, because it might be a little bit more difficult to attract some of the superstars that we may have been planning to bring in, then yeah, and it's good to see that some of those young players you know, can fit into the system and can thrive there as well.
Dan, Villa obviously, you know, fighting as well to stay in the league, as you've mentioned. How much of a boost has it been, though? I think you've touched on this, but how much of a boost to the fans specifically has it been getting to this final? Because like you say, it's not been an easy return to the Premier League so far.
Yeah, I think whenever you get through those first couple of early rounds, whenever a team in our position, you could think, all right, we go. I think in the last couple of years, Villa have barely got past the fourth round of the League Cup. I think the last time we got to the semi-final was like in 2012-13 when we lost to Bradford. Other than that, it's been like third round, fourth round, second round, first round, one of the seasons in the Championship. So to have come through those rounds, it's definitely a confidence boost. A cup run can do wonders for a team and for the fans. And especially when, you know, we beat Wolves, we beat Brighton. They're two very good teams. Beating Leicester as well is a huge, you know, that was a real coup. I think that was a really great performance over two legs. So I think that has definitely instilled some confidence in the fans. You know, we've seen Villa falter quite a lot in the Premier League this season, and I mean, losing 3-2 to Tottenham, kind of last gasp, and then I mean, it's Southampton at the weekend there. Like, there was just some bizarre football played. It was awful. But then you get a cup run, and you can see that the team can play football. We can score goals. Everything has to come through Grealish. That's the thing. I think if City can stop Grealish, it's game over, because as strong as Samata has been coming in, I don't think he maybe has it to hit the ground running this season. Wesley was kind of stop-start, and I'm not a massive fan of Trezeguet or El Ghazi. But what we have seen over the course of these games in the Cup is that they can nick the odd goal. They can play on that counter-attack, and those kind of performances have really given us confidence when the league performances probably haven't. And I think it becomes more and more important as the campaign has gone on. If you take the League Cup campaign separately to the Premier League campaign, it's a really good run. You know, Liverpool, Wolves, Brighton, Leicester, doesn't matter what team Liverpool put out, it says on the record sheet that we beat Liverpool, and I'm sticking with that. You can sniff at it all you like, but you know, it's a good run, and it shows that this team can have something about it on its day, and we can only hope that those kind of performances and that kind of confidence can then be replicated in the league, and it doesn't become one of those campaigns where, all right, we've got the Wembley twice in, you know, 9 months, but I think a second relegation would be catastrophic, to be perfectly honest.
Josh, how important is it for Pep as well, this game? It doesn't look like, you know, you'll win the league this season, so his options in terms of winning trophies are limited.
I don't think you could understate how, like, Pep Guardiola's career as a manager has been defined by silverware. He pretty much wins everything that's put in front of him. I can't see a scenario where Pep sees this trophy as anything but vital to his season, his legacy. You know, managers like him, like Mourinho, like Klopp, they may say in press conferences that, oh, they don't look at statistics, records, blah, whatever. They totally do. They're aware of them. He will be as conscious as anything of his legacy, what kind of momentum that winning their first bit of silverware of the season can give that team as well. You know, the league is gone, so that means that City have had to refocus on other areas. I think whatever happens in Madrid on Wednesday night will have an impact. I think if City go out and get put away 3 or 4 nil, he may well think, right, Champions League's done as well, and he will play a really, really strong team on Sunday. Probably with the exception of, you know, Bravo, who he has been playing in the Cups, and he, you know, we started him, you know, he's played him in other Cup Finals as well. You know, I think for the players as well, I think, you know, a lot of the players are, they've got the bug, they're addicted now to winning trophies. You think of the kind of the greatest teams back through time, you know, they all had that bug, and I think that this City team has it as well. You know, they are completely obsessed by winning trophies, and you know, it winning this one is the difference between somebody looking back in this season and saying, you know, City could end up with nothing, whereas if they win this, they can always look back and say, we won something this season.
Dan, finally, I'll leave it with you. You're the underdogs. Is there any way you can pull off an upset here?
Yeah, absolutely. City's defence is no great shakes. I think, you know, even the most kind of blinkered City fan would admit to that. There are areas where they can be got at. Kyle Walker's not had the best of seasons. Left back has been a wee bit dodgy as well. Laporte coming back in is great, but he hasn't had much game time. And the focus for them has to be the Champions League as well. So, you know, he'll maybe be looking at this game as he's thinking it's an easy kind of, you know, getting steady back into the team. And no matter what goalkeeper you have in nets, I think there's a mistake in them as well. You know, it's for Villa, the question is getting to that point. You know, it's getting that far up the pitch and getting past De Bruyne and Rodri and you're getting through that midfield. to try and put pressure on the players who might make a mistake. Villa have the speed. I know I did say I'm not the biggest fan of the wingers, but they can pull a cross out and they can pull a trick out. It's their defensive kind of areas that worry me a bit more. And they can be a wee bit kind of hit and miss. And whenever you get as few chances as Villa get, you have to make them count. But you look at, you know, the winning goal in the semi-final against Leicester, that was El Mohamedy swinging it around to the back post for Trezeguet to run in. That's the kind of thing, if we can get City turned round, you know, use Grealish to move the ball up the pitch to travel pretty quickly and get those wingers in and playing off him, there is definitely an opportunity that we could nick a goal. I think what Villa need to do is, and I know it's like it is the old cliche, but it's do not concede first. Because if you concede first against City, that gets City's back up and they will just pummel us. And I don't think our defence, you know, Tyrone Mings has been out for a week. He came back this weekend. I hope he's kind of 100% for next week. But outside of that, you know, our defence is no great shakes either. I think we can get at City. But we need to have a really good day and City need to have a pretty bad day for it to be a possibility. You know, the closer it gets to 90 minutes, the more chance you have to think of Jack Grealish making some mazy run up towards City's 18 and getting taken out by a stupid, slow City defender and smashing home a free kick. That's my ideal scenario. But
Do you mean Otamendi?
Yeah, that's exactly who I do mean. But I mean, I can't speak to his intelligence, but he's not the quickest on the turn. And I think that's where, you know, if Samata does do a job in battering those two centre halves, because John Stones, he's a good footballer, but he doesn't seem to like a battle as much as you would like a hardened kind of centre half to. And I think if we can batter them a bit, there's an opportunity there. I think one of the things that we've seen as well is Dean Smith's substitutions, for me, have been a bit suspect this season. Too many times, and yeah, there's fitness is an issue, and the recruitment over the summer was an issue, and then injuries have been an issue. But too many times this season, we've taken off a centre forward, like Wesley or Samata, and they've been doing a massive role in holding the ball up and taking the pressure off the defence. It happened against Spurs there. You know, if Villa do manage to somehow either get ahead or at least not be losing towards the last 20 minutes of the game, Samata might be dead on his feet. He has to stay on the pitch. There has to be somebody up top there to take the pressure off and just make the ball stick. Because that's where I think if Villa do manage to get up ahead, or if they aren't losing towards the closing stages of the game, I think that's where it will be won or lost in that bit, and whether the right substitutions are made. I don't fancy Baston coming off the bench. Keenan Davis, if he's fit, would be a great option, but I mean he's barely played all season, so I'd worry about throwing him on late on in a cup final. That would be the kind of thing I would worry about if we do get ahead. I'll probably just be hiding down behind a seat somewhere.
I think I've been a City fan for long enough to always go into these things with a sense of eternal pessimism. If there's a way to mess it up, we'll find it.
So that's it from us this week. We're all set for that exhilarating final that it should be between Aston Villa and Manchester City at Wembley. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show, to like and subscribe to the podcast. Next week, we'll be back with all the reaction to that Carabao Cup final. See you then.